Wow. Merc, I can't believe it. The Kyle's gone.
I know. It's so sudden.
I mean, we're breaking social distancing rules to be here for his funeral, standing out by his grave.
But we have to. We have to.
We have to pay respects. We have to take that risk. Is it just me, or the ground is sort of shifting below us? What's going on?
That's very strange. It's almost like something's underneath in the grave as we stand here alone in this gravesite with no one else around.
Hey guys, what are you looking at?
Oh,
that was my clone.
Wait a minute. How do we know that was the clone and you're the real one?
You don't.
Tell us something that the other clone wouldn't know that you would know that you were dead and then alive and didn't know.
Well, pi divided by zero is...
Merc, we don't have time for this. Give me the gun.
Here, take mine.
Another Kyle!
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Zero Issues
Comic Podcast.
So welcome to the show. Once again, we are all doing our bit in social distancing and in our own humble abodes or wherever we happen to be recording.
I'm just hanging out with all these Kyles.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many Kyles on this Zoom meeting that they're all over.
Get out of here, everybody. You get out of here. You get out of here. I'm Kyle too. Uh-oh, that one came out wrong.
It's like I'm looking at the Brady Bunch.
I feel like you four Kyles need to, fuse into one Omni-Kyle. I think that would solve all of our problems. But we don't have the budget for that, so four Kyles it is.
Hello, 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 hi.
I feel like we should keep this bit up for the entire episode. Let's just do it.
I love it. I don't like it. And I it again.
Well, it's lovely to see you guys through our video chat that we're doing. I'm in my basement where I belong.
And the door is locked from the outside.
I'm at my office because my landlord is working in the basement very loudly. And Merc is in a cave.
I am in our studio, or my studio that we usually record as in here as the actual Zero Issue studio. But
I saw some pictures of your studio yesterday in the Walleye.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I remember that space from the befores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I still haven't got a copy of that because I don't know where to get them right now because I'm not going anywhere. Yeah.
Just look at it online.
Digitally, I guess.
Yeah, I did look at them briefly online. It's kind of fun.
Just print out all the pages and make your own.
There we go.
And I speak for both of us. I appreciated the very kind mention there, too, when you were talking about, and that's where little Kyle sits, and that's where little Bri sits.
There's two little high chairs.
Yeah, I like being made to feel small. Diminish me. Now spit on me.
Me and humiliate me.
We'll save that for another time.
Yeah.
Spit on me. Get out of here, pervert Kyle. Make me.
Merc, where's the gun?
What's the safe word? I don't have one.
The safe word is faster. So
let's go to some news, maybe?
Yeah, let's do a quick interstitial while I kill these clones.
Current Zero News Flash.
You know, it had to end this way. There was really no other option.
Whether he had clones or not, we were going to have to kill him anyway. All right, news. There's a really, in the middle of this
news.
Yeah, there's... No, I don't want to say there's no news, but there's not a lot of news because really not a lot's going on. Diamond isn't distributing, as we'll get to in a little bit, but comic shops are closed and film theaters are closed.
Now is a really good time to catch up on all the comics that you missed, so I haven't been doing that.
Yeah.
I've been trying to here and there. And I'll get to that in a second, just something that came across my radar a week or two ago. But it is a good time, if you can, though, to if you could check in, if you have like a pull list at your shop. I mean, so comic stores are closed to the public, at least in most places. But
yeah.
if you haven't picked up your stuff in a bit, I mean, it might be a good time to see if you can arrange to pay for those and get them, pick them up, or get them like do like a curbside pickup thing. Really good time for that, because like those, it's very, very tight margins running a comic shop. By any comic shop owner would say as much. It's not like, you know, they're kind of struggling every month to make ends meet. So it's a good time to make sure if you have any money you owe them to settle up.
Yep.
Good point. Yeah.
It's a reminder for me too, because I probably have a good few things I gotta arrange to pay for and get. So I will get on that soon.
I like that Bri-titude.
Bri, I think you have some newsies.
Yeah. Do you have any news in your news bag?
I do.
Reach into your bag and tell us what you find.
Just fish around in there.
Oh, I was just, that was just my pants I was fishing around in. Oh, no. Listen, it's not getting any better.
You can't make me listen.
Recently, there was a Drink and Draw live stream that Dan DiDio went on with Marvel Editor-in-Chief, or whatever his title is, Joe Quesada.
Yeah.
So, which isn't a regular thing. There wasn't like a regular, you know what I mean? I feel like in recent years it's been more kind of divided, you know, not like unpleasant or anything like that. But I mean, like them actually talking together on something wouldn't be a common thing. But Dan DiDio don't work for DC anymore, so I guess he's feels free to talk to whoever he wants and say whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't just have to drink tea anymore.
That's true.
And that's the tea. God, I'm 35.
Listen, I'm 36 and understood you, so you're fine. So anyway, so they got to talking about how things basically were going at DC under the later years of his tenure there. And one of the things was talking about how like the new 52 kind of went wrong on the whole, which I would agree with. It went wrong. Just to quote from him, he said, his quote is, "Probably my biggest regret is making things happen too quickly sometimes. We spent a good 8 to 6 months building the new 52. I don't know if I believe that. Rethinking the characters, the designs, the villains, everything so it made sense." So he feels that things...
And then I got drunk one weekend and it just got out of hand.
And I was like, what if Mr. Freeze had a mohawk and was a real C-word?
Yeah.
Clown.
So, basically, he wasn't sure that the changes they were making, I think to quote him, that felt like they were worthy of a new direction for a line, and also saying that fans didn't have a point of reference anymore and you feel the wheels falling off the cart, which I think is very fair criticism. I think that actually really sums up a lot of why that entire initiative fell flat in a lot of ways, because it was kind of baby with the bathwater for a lot of the history.
Yeah.
He also mentioned, and he also had some criticisms about Rebirth. Which was, you know, when they started to kind of roll things back and bring back some pre-Flashpoint stuff and try to, like, make it back into that version of the universe as much as they could.
Right.
Kind of saying it was an opportunity to bring back missing elements. He said, unfortunately, once you put that in, as in you bring some old stuff back, you also put in the things that made you want to relaunch the line in the first place. The characters got stagnant again. The whole point of storytelling is change and evolution, was his quote on that topic. That I don't know that I as much agree with. I feel like having characters having history and depth, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because one, it makes them maybe a little bit less accessible, but I feel like it makes them the opposite of stagnant. I feel like I felt like the new 52, the stuff that I had read, if anything, felt more stagnant because these characters felt so thin and empty.
Yes, I mean they
compared to what they were.
None of them had history at this point.
Exactly.
But it goes both ways, though. Because it's totally. You have the thin characters that have no history yet, but you at least can do whatever you want with them, but then...
But what they did with them was very little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they only had so long to actually start to do that. And then to have, like, okay, now we're going to have regular Batman and regular Superman and all those characters that have... They're like, oh, we got to go back to what we were doing. Like, that's what this character is, which I get, but... I can see his point.
I think very much it was the sort of case where these characters had reputations, but they didn't have, you know, a personality built in. So they were just like, you know, I'm Aquaman, you know, Aquaman. Mm-hmm. Okay, but like, what are you doing right now? I'm Aquaman.
I'm Aquaman.
Okay, I understand that, and I like your outfit, but, like, what are you all about? I'm Aquaman.
That's kind of, and I'm hoping, you know, I think that you're very right, because, I mean, like, it's a reboot that's trying to build everything from the ground up, but it's also relying on you knowing who these characters are already, which automatically means it doesn't work. Because, I mean, you can't have it appeal to people who are following these characters for that history and specifically go for that appeal while also throwing it out. It just doesn't make any sense.
But it's the same idea as the Ultimates, so you're building off the same thing, but you're taking them in a different direction. It's all a matter of the writing and how you're going to control it. So it can either.
I think
fall.
It also, in fairness, I feel like it also, like, if the Ultimates worked because it was its own separate thing, I think.
Yeah.
And the thing is that DC had already had, like, multiple its own separate things going at all times.
Yeah.
So at that point, it's like, why are you even doing this? If you want an accessible, doing its own thing, like, some fresh version of these characters, you have, like, five of them happening at the same time that you're rebooting. So, like, what is the point?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, they also had Earth 2 running at the exact same time.
Yeah.
And, like,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that felt like, you know, in the Ultimate books, what they were trying to do there. But then, you know, they just ended up like, well, we're just going to do that to the main universe. And then that kind of fell off. And it just felt like there was a lot of potential that kind of just got squandered on the whole. But anyway, either way, it's cool to actually hear him talk about this stuff in an open way where otherwise, like, you didn't have that opportunity before. I mean, you know.
No,
because
he had to, like, toe
gone.
The company line.
Yeah, exactly.
And now he's got no company, so.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna get of... on with, like, Valiant.
Yeah, maybe.
Y'all need an editor? Bloodshot was real good.
I think he's gonna start his own comics. It'll be
DD?
DD Comics. Comics. Yeah. It'll be DC. DC. Dadao Comics.
DDC.
DDC 1, DDC 2, DDC 3, and the rest.
Yeah.
Whee!
I have some other news, and this is super, super important stuff in this time. It's very relevant and very topical. No, not at all. Because it's really there's not a lot going on. But Smallville Lex, Michael Rosenbaum, took to Twitter to put in his two cents on the whole Snyder Cut thing, which ironically captures his spirit, like the spirit of this argument of, like, release the Snyder Cut thing. He says, and I quote from his Twitter, well, with all this freaking hype, it better be night and day better, period. I didn't see the first one. I'm just saying. In fact, I haven't seen a movie with Batman since Bale. I did like Dawn if the Dead and 300, so.
I mean, Dawn of the Dead was a good remake.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, The Sixth Sense was a good movie, too.
But it's the idea of, like, I didn't see it, but I'm going to put my two cents in to an imaginary movie that's not going to come out and doesn't exist. And it's like...
You know what, though? I still like Michael Rosenbaum.
Me too.
I do, but it's, like, just
make me dislike him.
A weird thing. And then as a weird follow-up, and I'm just going to read... It's a super short blurb of an article that's on CBR, Comic Book Resources. Man of Steel actor Harry Lennox says he would be totally down to shoot some Martian Manhunter scenes for Justice League's famed Snyder Cut. He just hopes that the film gets made and seen regardless. I would love to do that, Lennox explained on the Comic Book Central podcast. I hope that it will be seen. I really do. Lennox, who played General Swanwick in Man of Steel, said he was supposed to have an appearance in Justice League and be revealed as Martian Manhunter, but the idea was scrapped during the movie's infamous script rewrites. He believes Snyder would have shot that scene. Like, okay, what?
And then Martian Manhunter would have killed a guy.
Yeah.
Jimmy Olsen lived, and he snaps his neck.
And then took his place.
Yeah.
He takes his place.
That's, I mean, like, whatever. I mean, I get it. You were involved in a project and you wanted to, you, you passionate about it, you want it to happen. But it's like, yeah, I mean, like, I don't believe that they're going to put the money into completing special effects that of stuff that he already shot. They're not going to shoot anything else. There's no chance. No, this is already lost money. They're not going to invest money. They're not going to make any money off of this thing. There's zero chance.
That's the stupid thing. I'm even in that article that was posted on CBR, the comments on it were like, well, why would they have to reshoot it? And it's like, people don't even understand that. Like, this movie doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It got taken away from him before he could finish it. There's nothing to finish.
There's stuff that was not filmed. There would be so much money that you would have to spend in order to film it and then do all the special effects, edit it together, and re-release it. Like
the idea of reshoots, like how long after the movie came out after already having extensive reshoots. No. This is what you get. Sorry.
Yeah.
I will say, though, I'll take it back to Michael Rosenbaum. I do like Michael Rosenbaum. I feel like he was a great Lex Luthor with pretty bad material. But, and he was a great Flash.
He's a great Flash, yeah.
I respect how he just, like, doesn't... He just says whatever the hell, like this. He was supposed to be involved in that Crisis crossover, and apparently they like offered him like almost like pretty much no money and wouldn't send him a script in advance. He was just like, "Yeah, go to hell," and said as much publicly. Good for him.
Yeah, I'd party with him.
Yeah, he's got stuff going on. He doesn't need this.
What has he got going on? Yeah, I'm sure he's got something.
He's got a podcast. I don't know. He's got as much going on as we do.
Oh wow, he's doing a podcast.
And we're doing great.
Three Rosenbaums.
Is it too late to change our name?
Never.
Three Rosenbaums and a Snyder Cut.
Yeah, but then there's going to be a podcast called Rosenbaums 3.
Damn you, Kennedy! We're the Rosenbaums with shaved heads, and that'll be like the Rosenbaum with hair. I know which one I'm rooting for. Lastly, something real brief. I don't know how it's news necessarily, but it's something I ran across literally today, the day we're recording.
If it's not necessarily news and we're just pulling stuff off CBR, have I got one for you? This article is called "Pokemon's Most Terrifying Supervillain is an Ordinary Psychic Type." And in related news, what does Spider-Man do when there are no buildings to swing from? There is no news.
He rides on top of the bus. We've read that story.
Okay, sorry.
So briefly, we don't talk about the movement known as Comicsgate super duper often. Even by mentioning its name can lead to some unpleasant.
If you say it three times, they suddenly appear. Yeah,
they do appear. It's not pretty. Whatever your opinion might be on people involved, blah blah blah. But recently. And this has happened before. It's like a repeat. So years ago, people in Comicsgate, including Ethan Van Sciver, who's become kind of a hate mob cheerleader. That seems to be his only job now, aside from gluing pieces of paper to 50 cent coins and selling them for like $50. don't look
into
it. I
don't know
what
it's you're talking
about,
but you know what? I don't need to know.
It's not worth it. Anyway, so he has a habit of trying to claim Darwin Cook, saying that he would be Comicsgate if he hadn't passed on. Yeah. And what inevitably happens is that Darwin's late widow, his wife, Marcia Cook, responds to that very fiercely, denying that. In no uncertain terms, saying that Darwin Cook would absolutely be opposed to everything that you stand for and actually hated you personally, says to Ethan, which is kind of fun.
Just a little f*** you right in the middle of that.
So I wanted to just, it's not really news, but I kind of want, this is happening again. So they're trying to, there's a video, I guess, of somebody who was talking to Darwin Cook at a convention years and years ago. And he had some complaints about how the comic industry kind of handles how they, you know, deal with their audience, how they appeal to their audience. And a lot of the issues he had were with Frank Miller's more recent Batman stuff, like All-Star Batman and Robin, where like he's making Dick Grayson eat a rat and he's like having like graphic sex with people in public and just gross stuff. And he said like, "This, why are you doing this? This isn't appealing to anybody aside from like this one niche." He made the argument too that like he said something about making 60-year-old characters and deciding now they're gay isn't the best choice either. But he had a wider point there, because he said that the comics industry has to adapt and cater to a younger audience and have new characters that represent a more modern and diverse worldview and grow with them. And he said, basically, the gist of it seemed to be, he said that that's what the comics industry should do, and creators should find their way, find their place in it as it grows, which I think is a wonderful. I think that's very wonderful. It's very true. For long-term growth is great. Of course, they twist it with that one little mention, being trying to do a half measure to update a character to appeal to a world that their creation doesn't actually reflect, maybe isn't actually giving any side of this what they really want, which is a fair point. Anyway, so they have a habit of bringing this little clip out, taking it out of context and trying to claim he's saying something that he wasn't. And Marsha Cook inevitably has to battle waves after waves of trolls harassing and insulting her for standing up for her husband's legacy. So I just want to shout out to Marsha Cook. She's on Twitter under, it's nicest girl ever, spelled funny. But if you, she's great. She's seems to be just a fantastic person and always deals with this in a really fun and entertaining way. So, give her some support right now.
Yeah.
Woot.
Welcome to the warm up.
All right. So, we had a post on our Facebook page by, I don't want to say a fan. I don't know if he's a fan. Maybe he doesn't like us at all. I don't want to presume anything. Manuel A. Carmona of Norfolk, Virginia. Mm-hmm. Manuel writes. No. He posted about diamond distribution being Monopoly and wanted to get our thoughts on it. To give a shout out to Manuel, you can go to he's an artist as well. You can go to theartofmanuelcarmona.com. He created the imprint Truthful Comics. He's also got a podcast, Truthful Comics Podcast. So check that out. But yeah, he's just kind of seeing what we think about the whole diamond distribution Monopoly and, it attached there's an article that had been written a couple of years back, kind of more about just the history of how they became the Monopoly. And yeah, I actually learned a few things in there that I didn't realize. But
what'd you learn?
Well, there's stuff I know they have minimums. It makes it very hard for a lot of the independents to jump in and get their stuff sent and listed and sent to comic shops across North America. I know in 2009, though, they upped their minimum orders from 1,500 to 2,500. So if you don't hit those minimum orders, then your stuff just won't get listed and nobody will be able to access it, which makes it problematic.
I just think of you look back to the 80s black and white boom and consider maybe a lot of stuff there that kind of was part of an actual movement might not have even been possible to distribute under what Diamond has become.
Yeah. Also, it's in 1997, the U.S. Justice Department launched an antitrust investigation looking at, were they a monopoly and was it legal? After 3 years of an investigation, there was nothing that really came of it. But they did come out of it basically saying, yeah, they're a monopoly, but they're still working within the confines of legality. So it's nothing that they could really do about it, but so it kind of just makes creators and retailers alike, it makes it difficult to deal with them, because then the retailers can only go through one company in order to get this stuff, so.
Right.
I'm not necessarily against that part of it. I think it's fine that there's one sort of centralized distributor. I mean, it's sort of based on whether or not that distributor becomes corrupt and mad with power.
Yeah. It's a matter of how they wield their power. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Do they wield it justly?
Just nodding emphatically. That's all I'm doing now.
and one example, and this goes way back to 1986, but it shows you the kind of power that they could have. Steve Jeppy, who was the CEO at the time of for Diamond, I guess there was some stuff coming out. This is the 80s, so then there's a little bit more violence, and then it kind of pushing the boundary on the Comics Code Authority. And Eclipse put out Miracle Man number 7, and there was in that issue, there was a pretty graphic scene of a birth. So it wasn't violent. It mm-hmm. was somebody giving birth. And I guess...
to a beautiful yeah. little space baby.
And Steve Jeppy said some sort of, like, went public with saying, like, there's a lack of censorship, and even brought it up in, like, interviews, and he was on TV or something. And so it kind of made everybody, like Marvel and DC alike, all kind of go, oh my God, like, should we be more censoring ourselves? We don't want to, like, upset our one and only distributor. And it's like, well, okay, is that really your place to say that? Like, you exist well, exactly. to distribute yeah. this stuff. You don't get to dictate what that right. stuff is, though.
Well, it's like right. it's a distributor deciding to act like a publisher exactly. in some ways. Like, that's not, you're not the actual publisher. You're just like, you know, if you don't want to distribute this, then fine, step out yeah. of the way, let somebody else do it. But so that's it's mm-hmm. overreach for sure. It more recently, obviously, this is relevant again because the current situation due to the pandemic with businesses being shut down and Diamond being one of them.
Yeah.
But they still have that monopoly. So you have a lot of comic companies are kind of, you know, shutting or at least putting things on hiatus for the time being to see how things pan out. They do have other distribution avenues through two different markets. However, exactly through digital, like books, you know, there might be differently ones through bookstores. Maybe I'm not 100% yeah. certain about that, but you know, they're not jumping into that. They're not like a lot of for a couple of weeks anyway, they've like not distributed any comics, like pretty much at all, aside from a few exceptions because of this Mexican standoff situation that they have with like the publishers and the retailers and the direct market and Diamond. So it's kind of like it's like almost like a hostage situation for an entire industry where if you can't move the needle a little bit towards another direction to try to like, you know, keep things coming out, you can't like keep things moving unless everybody's on board. And it's, you know, kind of very much a stranglehold on their ability to even put comics out at this point, which is
I think this almost falls under yeah. like just I wouldn't put that under the fault of Diamond because it's everybody's just kind of stuck in this yeah. like nobody has any idea what to do. Oh, totally. But I think it's more the system that we've set up. It's mm-hmm. almost like I whether you agree with me or not, it's like linking to we're locking ourselves into the oil and gas sector, and you know, we're just doing this one thing and we don't like kind of diversify and do other things.
We're not going to even explore yeah. other options.
Yeah, so like, this right? is what we need to I do, agree. And that's how we're going to do it. And it's the same thing with this. It's like,
stay the course.
Yeah, we're just going to go the regular Diamond distribution route, and we're going to do it print physical comics, and they're going to go here and get to them in this way, and then we won't do anything anywhere mm-hmm. other way. So,
well, another question I had was, with the current state of things, did comic companies decide to pass for the ongoing time, or was it Diamond that put their foot down and said no? It was absolutely, and I'm just going to answer the question, it was the comic companies. It wasn't yeah. Diamond saying, we're going to take a break, because Diamond would have nothing without comic creators and comic book companies.
Well, it's true.
And it's easy to forget that.
My question, and I don't know the actual answer. I know that it came out that Diamond was shutting down for this time. I don't know what came first. My understanding was that happened, and then like comic publishers announced after.
Yeah,
that
I might. Okay, I thought it was
Diamond first too, as well. I thought they said we're not taking any new stuff in.
Forget what yeah. I said. that minute didn't happen.
That's sort of what I mean, though, too, because I feel like there's a lot of these books that could be like, well, let's just, like, go digital with it. You know what I mean? Like, let's keep putting them out but digitally. But if they did that and they still intended to publish print copies down the line, I mean, like, comic retailers, understandably, would scream bloody murder because they've undercut
yeah.
them.
Yeah,
of course.
And Diamond also would scream bloody murder because that would undercut their business, too. This is what I mean about them kind of being all guns drawn on each other at this point, because it's if you change anything, the other people might fire.
Yeah, yeah.
you right. know, like it's a very delicate dance that they have here. So anybody who's, and it's not that easy either. Even explaining it this way, it's not as simple as like this and this and this. It's all those three sides are all like a symbiotic relationship that it's you can't just change yeah. it.
You would have to radically change everything, yeah.
And that again is the reason that everything, like the comic industry, is kind of on pause in a lot of ways right now. It's not like video games are still coming out. A lot of other stuff like are still coming out as long as they can produce them. Comics you can easily produce under quarantine situations, but just the way the business is laid out, unfortunately, makes that kind of impossible right now.
I have one last quick question to wrap it up. Is Diamond Distribution as a monopoly, is it more like old-timey Monocle monopoly, or is it like Scrooge McDuck monopoly, or is it like Lex Luthor monopoly?
Oh, it's, well wait, which Lex Luthor?
That's up to you.
Yeah.
Michael Rosenbaum?
I think it's like,
three Rosenbaums and a monopoly.
Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown,
yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's like Mr. Krabs. It's like his character from Pet Sematary 2, who came back from the dead and was just really horny.
Well, I think you,
Merc, we have an answer. Yeah.
I think you've got that in a nutshell. That's the monopoly.
We have an answer,
and it's a perfect segue into our main topic, which starts now. What the f***? And then we're into the main topic.
Frankly, we're crushing it. We're crushing it.
All right, so Easter just passed. And in honor of Easter...
But don't worry. Easter will be back.
It'll come back next year. It's an annual event. But in honor...
Getting tired of these sequels.
In honor of Zombie Jesus rising from the dead, we're going to talk about superheroes coming back from the dead. Which, I was thinking about it, it's like, it's basically everyone.
Well, I mean, it's especially the X-Men right now.
It's right now? Like, it's always especially the X-Men.
Yeah,
it's the inevitable result of all the choices they made over the years, where it's like baked into the concept of mutants. It's like, they just come back from the dead all the time.
No, Gene, please. That's what I'm...
Gene Grey is exactly the... It's like you said, it's baked into her character now. Like, it's not even the joke that she'll die. It's like, well, when is she just going to come back? Because it just... It's... Well, Phoenix is the rebirth of the Phoenix now. You're like, well, yeah, but 15 times in a row? Really?
Yeah.
I was looking at an article, and it's like, X-Men 101, 137, 281, regular X-Men 148, Grant Morrison's new X-Men, the Phoenix end song. Like, she died in all of those.
Yeah.
And there's probably more.
It's become a foundational part of why they're hated and feared, because, like, they won't stay dead.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Well, there was the one time where Banshee died, because he's probably died a couple times. He has.
That's true.
And
killed by laryngitis.
Yeah, that's the silent killer, literally.
Yeah.
they told his daughter Siren, and she's like, "No, it was a robot." Like, no, he died. No, it was probably a clone. we're at his funeral. Mm-mm. LMD.
He'll be back. Looking like, around. Where is he?
Here's his body. He's dead for real. He died. Who hasn't? Come on.
Put your close your eyes, and I'm going to put his hair in your hands. And these were his eyeballs. Banshee was a witch, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Grapey.
And Siren was a mermaid.
There's characters like Thor who die and they go to Valhalla or Hell regularly. Like, he just packs an overnight bag and...
Yeah.
Like, I'll doth be back on a fortnight.
He never brings his toothbrush, though. He's like, I'll buy one there, but he won't.
Yeah. No.
At this point, he's got it down to a science. It's a day trip. He can get back in time.
Yep.
He's good.
It's okay. I'll take both goats.
Mm-hmm. They're technically driving, so he can come back with mead breath, no problem.
Yeah, a breathalyzer. It's not me driving.
That especially because he's not brushing his teeth. It's very important that I get that across. That
he has not done that in...
No, ever.
No. He did 1,000 years ago.
Keeps leaning into the officer. No, it's just honey. It's honey.
Do you like honey?
Hey, honey.
What's Thor gonna do?
I think we just turned Thor into Mel Gibson, and I don't like it.
I could see him calling someone sugar tits.
No. Oh, God.
And he's just getting hammered.
Frankly, with the Viking aspect, I would maybe ease up on the Mel Gibson stuff. It might not go over too well.
Mm.
That's fair.
Superman. He's died like 15 times.
Name at least three.
A lot of those might have been imaginary stories.
Yes, a lot of those were like Elseworldy, but then that's the nature of DC. So it's like, how many Elseworld or Earth 2 or Earth 73 or whatever, and then like just back in two issues or something. Like the one that I didn't realize until I was researching this, and I've been wanting to actually pick up this trade, the DC Masters of the Universe crossover thing. Apparently, Superman dies in that. He's, I guess, Skeletor, whatever, like magically starts
cuts
controlling
his head off.
Superman. Yeah, he starts
magically
cuts his head
off.
Controlling Superman. So then he's become his Skeletor's weapon, and so He-Man's battling him. And it just the only picture I see is He-Man's actually taking his magic sword and just stabbed him right in the chest.
Oh my God.
It's like, boom, done.
I was expecting more like fun cartoon.
No,
just wackiness.
No,
like Skeletor's like, aha, I've conquered you, Superman. And he's like, who's a boob? I'm a boob.
I'm a super boob. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's about time that He-Man actually used his sword for anything.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, really.
Like, oh, this is a cunning and stabbing implement. Who better to stab? I'm going to try it out on this guy.
I don't just hold it up and catch lightning.
Gotta do it.
And then Superman learned a very valuable lesson. And then He-Man learned a very valuable lesson.
Don't stab.
They're gonna talk about it right before the end credits.
In today's story, I sure was busy. Boy, did that hurt. Ramming things may look like fun, but it really isn't. So listen to Rammy, play safely, and when you use your head, use it the way it was meant to be used. To think. Until later, so long.
Exactly. It's very important that you never stab anyone.
Especially when you have a magic sword.
Very key.
Charles Xavier?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of tricky because we can just say the X-Men as a blanket thing, but there are specific X-Men who die a lot and come back a lot.
Well, I think him especially, like his kids keep killing him. Like Legion's kill, like kids in, like, it, one is his legitimate biological offspring, and then the other, like, Bishop has killed him, like the Phoenix Force Cyclops killed him. It's like not a good track record with his own kids and such.
Yeah, nobody
keep
kills
him
more.
Him. Yeah. That might be telling you something.
Very concerning father issues are constantly come out regarding Chuck.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of curious because, like, constantly. You know, a lot of superheroes have that, like, no, I don't kill sort of, like, code. Like, that's Batman's thing. The X-Men never had a thing where they're like, no, we don't kill people.
Yeah, that's true.
We especially kill our dad. You know, it's mythical, and I think Hickman would appreciate that.
And once you're done, let's just see what Lilandra's up to.
Oh, he's there. What was that? Mr. Immortal.
That's the other one I have written down.
Good.
Was Mr. Immortal the one where every time he died, he'd come back with a new power?
No.
Who am I thinking of?
With a new power. I don't know that.
That was a guy. Every time he died, he would come back to life and he'd have a different power.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right now is just, you know, losing their mind, yelling at the screen.
That was like some very gritty 90s Dial H for Hero reboot.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I don't know if he actually had any powers besides just being immortal. He's a mutant. Yeah. And he's immortal.
He's Great Lakes Avengers, right?
He led the Great Lakes Avengers. And I read in a little blurb, Death Urge, who was a herald for Oblivion. I don't know what that means, but I'm saying it anyway.
He's like a 90s Galactus, I'm sure.
Some sort of thing like that. But apparently he approaches Mr. Immortal and prepares him because he's going to see the end of the universe. He's going to be one of the characters that reaches the end of the universe because he's truly immortal. He can't die. And I'm like, really? Of all the characters to actually reach the end, when Great Lakes Avengers first came out in West Coast Avengers, I don't think that was the plan.
Yeah.
I think that's that might be one of the most wonderfully Marvel things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It's like, who's going to be there? Well, it's, you know, the Hulk and Galactus.
Wolverine.
And Wolverine and Puck. Oh, Puck from Alpha Flight? No, the other Puck. Like the troll.
And this pathetic schlub.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems right to me.
And Doug. Doug is there. Doug. You know, like Doug from Disney's Doug.
They are under the same umbrella, frankly, so I think that's wonderful too. Gotta get that synergy, baby. Mm-hmm.
Well, like, okay, so who are the characters that stay dead now? Because it used to be, it's like, well, it's Bucky and it's Uncle Ben and it's Jason Todd, mm-hmm. and two of those three are back.
And then just Uncle Ben.
For a little bit, right after Ted Kord died, it was like, no, he's never coming back. And now he's back. That lasted like 3 months.
Thank God, frankly. Oh, yeah. Ted. I love a Ted.
Well, nobody did before, and that's why they killed him.
See, the only ones I would say are guaranteed, but they're even not guaranteed anymore, because like anyone who's like a character whose death is foundational for like the impetus of a superhero.
Right.
Your Uncle Ben's. Your Thomas and Martha Wayne.
Mm-hmm. Your scientist that teleported the Martian Manhunter.
Sure. I want to say you're Jor-El, but that changed, so... You know what I mean? Like, they'll bring an alternate version of them back in some way. Like, not a single character has stayed dead, like, permanently, period. Like, even Mar-Vell has come back a few times in some ways. And that is one character where... I mean, full respect to Mar-Vell, the original Captain Marvel, but, you know, not a lot of people are clamoring for him to return at this point, so... They really don't have to bring it back for any demand, but they still have.
Yeah, it's... I don't know, like... Name a bunch of Captain Marvel villains.
Thanos?
Okay, thank you.
Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy Piven. But because of that, I mean, you can bring Mar-Vell back and... Oh, now he's a villain, or something's wrong with him, or something like that. Because there is a little bit of... Even people who didn't read those books, they sort of know who this guy is.
Mm. Yeah.
So you can use
The last time I saw him come back was... The stupidly titled Cancerverse?
Oh, the Cancerverse, yeah.
Yeah. And he popped back there. I was like, oh, really? Don't call it the Cancerverse. That's the stupidest name ever.
It also kind of seems like in poor taste, considering, like...
Mm.
They were trying to, his death of cancer, where they were trying to, like, treat it with respect, at least, and have it be, like, a truly tragic human death. And then it's just like, Cancerverse, you're back. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's fair.
The Blob comes back in the Diabetesverse.
Oh no.
I apologize.
He lost a leg, though. He lost a foot, at least.
Yeah,
Merc is just, he's just walking away, bowing, blowing kisses after that one.
I mean, why is there this revolving door of death? And do you think you could make a comic book publisher that took death seriously? Like, hell, even Hellboy.
Ah, he came back.
He
stayed dead a while, though.
Next day.
I mean, some people didn't come back, but...
No. I read, actually, is that, like, that story where he came back, was that the end of that universe?
Yeah, that was... Well, like, they're doing stuff that's, like, set in the 50s still, but everything, you know, everything set in the present sort of thing, yeah, it's done.
I will give him that. That was a grim, ballsy ending.
Uh-huh.
I feel like whatever point there was when somebody died and stayed dead, I mean, like, every comic, no matter if it's, like, even, like, a relatively independent thing, unless it's, like, a creator-owned definitive run thing, if it's, like, a franchise of any kind, no. There's going to be a reboot, there's going to be something. They're gonna want to go back to a certain status quo or create a new one that's familiar. I feel like it's... The ship has sailed a very long time ago.
I feel like this plays into what we were talking about earlier with whole like Rebirth and New 52 stuff about like revisiting those characters, because it's these characters, all these characters have such a huge history that nobody wants to just like, oh, we end it and then they're done and then just move on to other characters. They're like, right. Oh, well, everybody has got so much invested, including all the writers and artists. They're like, oh, I always wanted to deal with this, or I remember this story from way back and it involved Bucky. I always wanted to bring Bucky back. How could we do that? Okay, let's do this Winter Soldier idea. Like, it's a just keep dipping into that well and keep churning it. Like, and it I get it, because it's they're creative people and they want to delve into the things that they love.
Yeah.
But in the end,
as far as
nostalgia, you can still it's nostalgia. Yeah.
You know, it's one of those. I really actually would say that Winter Soldier and say like even Jason Todd would be some of the better examples of how to do
it. Oh, totally.
Because
yeah,
because in doing so, you're like transforming and saying something new with that character, and I think in both of those cases, made them far stronger, more lasting characters because they were resurrected.
But then it had to be because. Partially because they were dead for so long that it was like, okay, this meant something, and you shot like, oh, rather
than,
oh, okay.
That's the way to do it. Like, if you're gonna kill a character just to bring them back, it has to be at least 5 years, and like the longer you go, the more impactful it is. If it's a year and a half, like, of course they're coming back.
If you're just flipping creative teams and that creative team is, oh, now I can access that character again, I'll bring him back. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't work. Yeah. Stop doing that.
When people, like, I think comic fans often will complain about the revolving door. And I feel like they don't complain when you do something good with it like that. I think of, like, Aunt May, for example. They killed her off in, like, the 90s during the Clone Saga. And it was a wonderful, beautiful death issue. It was perfect. It was a perfect send-off for that character. And then a couple of years later, they brought her back, and it was just right back to, like, she died and said, oh, I knew you were Spider-Man the whole time, or for a very long time, and I love you, and I'm proud of you, and it was just, like, wonderful, because it was, like, a growth thing. And then they brought her back, and it was immediately, like, eat your wheat cakes, bring your sweater! And that's, like, literally all they did with that character for years and years, and it was just, like, why? This is, the resurrection sucks, and you ruined a good story. Mm-hmm. And often that's the case, is they're just like, somebody just like, I want to use this character again. It's like, okay, but what story are you going to tell with them? The same one. What is the point?
Because I'm going to do it.
I want them to fit this niche thing of like, this is what they are, and that's all they are. Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's very important to evolve them into becoming something else.
You know what? Brian and I are going to get gold stars because we went through an entire episode about characters coming back from the dead and never talked about Dragon Ball. So
it's true. It's
true. We did it. We did it. Everybody
until,
did it.
Until now, welcome to the bonus round, Merc.
The bonus round where we say goodbye and say who we are.
Well, I guess we did it.
We did it. Yay. We did it. I'm going to go first. So there.
Go for it, real Kyle.
That's me. You can find me at realkyle.com. Don't go there, because that might be a thing. Go to thekylelees.com. Check out my stuff. I've got, you know, prints and books and all sorts of things that you can just look at with your eyes. If you got two eyes. Yeah. Got two eyes.
Baby.
And 4 feet.
And that's all I've got to say about that.
And that's all I have to say about that.
I'm going to go right now. I'm going to do it. My scram. Name is Bri. I will. My name is. I will scram. My name is Bri Kotick. You can check out my comic online, internet comic, World Wide Web comic, web comic. Welcome to Hereafter.
HTTP.
HTTPS. Very secure, baby. Welcome to hereafter.com. I haven't updated in a bit, but I think I've sorted out how to deal with the current status of that story and how to do that in COVID world. And it's going to be addressing it and then moving the setting away from Earth as quickly as possible.
Yes, please.
God's so
just like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Well, we might just leave him in suspended animation for a while, but he can come out of it as the Winter Soldier.
Cool.
Well, hopefully
with
more
a metal
soon.
Arm.
Oh yeah, really.
That would be Odin.
He was on Earth. He was on Earth for 2 weeks. Not good.
But he was in isolation the whole time because traveled. Yeah.
He built it himself. He's very talented. Continue.
My name is Merk. You can find me at merkasylum.ca, merkasylum.ca, Merk on Facebook, Merkonaut like astronaut on Instagrams. Currently, I'm doing like daily drawings on Instagrams and just trying to, yeah.
Yeah, you're doing all some my good stuff. I like it.
You're doing good.
Thanks. Yeah, I having fun. But it's, all my jobs are on hiatus, so I can't do anything. So I'm like, I'm going to make sure I'm doing stuff. So.
Well, that's great. Yeah. That itself, I find, even like if you have more time on your hands right now, I find that it's a struggle to motivate yourself during all of this.
Oh, it's motivate and then just organize. Oh, now I have to do this and this. And then you're like, how am I more busy now that I don't have a job? Like, What's going on?
At the same time, some of it is just like, I didn't put pants on.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's okay if you don't put pants on every day. Well, that's like, fine. You should probably put pants on every day, but that's me. And, I'm very body shamey. And that's the end of the episode. We'll resurrect next week.
When Bri says...
I don't know. I have nothing.
And right. That's the end of the episode.
I don't have structure anymore. What do you want from me?
I'm hitting the stop button. Doug. You know, like Doug from Disney's Doug.